B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So they don't play in San Diego anymore.
It's a shame.
They don't practice in San Diego anymore.
So nice there.
But they will forever be the San Diego Superchargers because, really, San Diego is the only place where anybody gives a damn about this team.
See, that's interesting because I remember being, last time I was in San Diego, the team was out there. They left Green Bay and spent the week and took over an entire hotel, picked up the organization, and stayed right there on the beach. And then they played the Chargers and then went on that great Super Bowl run. Normally, when you stay together for a week, sort of come together.
Oh, there's a bonding experience.
Tight football, food, football, fun. It's just funny, but San Diego won't come.
Words, food,
they couldn't
football,
make it work
fun.
On Weiss,
funny,
Weiss, you know? Funny. We can make it work out there, but
fabulous.
They can't make it work.
Fantastic.
Here. Yeah, it's interesting. God, that song sucks.
That's a great fight song.
I know. You guys dig it for whatever. Like,
it's awesome.
It is the best team song in
no,
the
but
league.
It sounds like it.
Sounds like
it
Tavares,
is, which
yeah.
is great. Like, it fits the time that it came out.
Who's got, yeah. a better, who's got a better song that you connect to the team?
Oh, I thought it was Big Blue.
What?
I thought it was Big Blue.
Who's
with,
got a song?
No.
Do it this way. Who's got a song that would fit in on any top 40 station when it came out?
Nobody.
Like, you could listen to that and not give a damn about the Chargers and be like,
yeah, because, like, even in Pittsburgh, right? Like, polkas weren't played
there's,
on the radio.
Right.
Like,
there's no other song like this.
You would do the George L. Massey polka, dude. But, this is nice.
Right? It's got a similar
listen to
this feel.
In my car now. Heaven.
Right. I mean, this is Tavares.
Yeah. Are they at Twin River soon or something? Somebody's coming there.
Must be missing an angel.
San Diego Superchargers could fit right in between this song and give me another song of that time. Sandwich it right in there.
Oh,
yeah.
Without skipping a beat.
I gotta think about it.
Come up with another one.
Another football.
Don't leave me this way. I will survive. Who sings that? I'm sorry. Baby. Oh, baby. You want another song from that time?
I Will Survive?
Not I Will Survive. Oh, my God. Is this Gloria Gaynor, right? Gloria Gaynor?
Thelma Houston.
Gloria Gaynor is I Will Survive.
This is, God rest Kevin Turner's soul. We used to get in the car and go to Houlihan's down in Faneuil Hall, because we thought that was the only bar in Boston you go
right.
to and have fun, because they had a DJ and everything. And they had disco night. It was me, Kevin Turner, and Swamp Chicken, Todd Collins. And we would get in the car and drive down, because Todd Collins and Kevin Turner used to dig the disco. They'd unbutton their shirts and we'd just dance all night. And we're at Houlihan's, man. Give me the sweet drinks. It's got sweet woo-woo shots.
Get the woo-woo
we'll
shots.
Throw up all night. That's going to be a fun night. Yeah.
And you would dance
rally,
to this.
Pecan rally. Pecan rally. And we danced.
Like,
and they had the disco ball. And we're like, yes, we're in Boston. It's great. Whole hands. Hey, can we have some cheese sticks?
What a crew.
That's a jalapeno poppers. Yeah.
Got some jalapeno poppers for me and the boys.
Are we going to debut a new song? We kind of blew the segment, but...
Tom
this
Pritchard.
Hey, Tom Pritchard, nice to meet you.
Yes.
He's like, oh. Jump on in, boys. The wire's fine.
A $10 cover charge. Nothing about
that
on the
website.
You'll never find.
Oh, my God. Lou Rawls.
You know what?
This is a couple
this
of years.
All
this is a hell of a segment right here.
This is a couple years rocking. Before the San Diego Superchargers song, but you can hear this at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's baby music right there.
You know who can sing this one?
No, Yeah, Tangway and Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman can sing this.
You'll never find. Never find Andy once he crawls through that hole. Three football.
You'll never find.
Oh, it's like a bad jazz lounge.
Well, you expect to find this in a hotel lobby somewhere.
Who's the guy, the Chinese pirate from a movie, Summer Rental? Right, like, you could see him playing it on his little piano.
We got to get to the song, fellas. We made a new, Hardy made a new song. Hardy reworked the San Diego Superchargers song.
How long will it take you?
About 5 minutes. I'm not going to lie to you.
Some of your projects take like 5 hours.
this one.
I know it takes a lot of time to do this.
Let's hear it.
All right.
There's a lot of room and time this week to add, edit, change as we see fit.
Oh.
So.
Second.
No bad.
Yeah.
San Diego. Superchargers of Los Angeles.
San Diego. Chargers
of Los Angeles.
San Diego.
Superchargers of Los Angeles.
San Diego.
Los Angeles.
I think it works.
It's so bad, it's good.
Yeah, it's so bad, it works. Like, you never feel weird. Seriously, like, you do this in your office?
Yeah.
Like, your dad goes, yeah. Like, do you ever film yourself?
No. But when I got to sing that loud, I wait till everybody goes to bed. I don't want anybody walking in on that.
Thunder and the lightning.
It's a good song.
Right?
Chargers of Los Angeles.
San Diego. Chargers
of Los Angeles.
It's good.
Superchargers of Los Angeles.
San Diego. Chargers
of Los Angeles.
That works.
Pretty good.
See, now you heard the
five.
You heard the Thunderbolts and Lightning in here. If they were smart when they moved, they should have commissioned the Imagine Dragons to incorporate Thunder.
Oh, I don't think you should commission those guys to do anything, especially live after what I saw last night.
In a studio. A new song with the Thunder and the Lightning.
Thunderbolts and Lightning.
Yeah. Lil Wayne was pretty good last night, too. Jesus Christ. Was that a homeless man? Or was it Lil Wayne?
Who knew he was still out
there? I couldn't tell.
He's available for gigs.
I think he was on Saturday Night Live. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cute. And then they have him out there for that, too. And this, like, that song was like, that's not a song. That's an idea for a song. Like other songwriters would say,
workshop,
oh, I've got
that little bit.
Right. I'm going to put that in my list. That's like 2 seconds of another song, but I can fit that into another song that I'm working on. Lil Wayne had that, and he's like, no, that's a song. That's it. That's my song.
There it is.
Song.
Done.
Imagine Dragons. Holy crap. I heard Fred and Rich. And you know, Rich named off like 3 or 4 songs, because I can only tell you the Thunder song. That's the only one I know, Imagine Dragons. But he named like 3 more songs.
Yeah.
Like, they're all awful. They're all so bad. He's right. It's like for 9-year-olds.
That's so good, though. Like, I like them.
You like Imagine
Dragons. I do like Imagine Dragons.
Yeah. You find yourself like seeking them out and listening to them on your own.
I listen to them. I'd run on a treadmill with Thunder and the Lightning.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Sure. It's like Pitbull.
It's torture. Same thing. It's torture.
Like, I wouldn't go buy their stuff, but yeah, I could. It's hip.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
This helps my emotion.
Zulak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Brooklyn Nets arrived in Boston today with the best record in the NBA over the last month at 12-3, and the Celtics dismantled them. Now the best record in the NBA over the last month belongs to the Indiana Pacers. And guess who's coming to dinner on Wednesday? The Celtics have won 5 straight at home. The clock hits triple zeros. And the Celtics dominate pretty much start to finish. They beat the Brooklyn Nets by a final of 116-95.
We'll be right back.
Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in the voice of the Celtics, Sean Grandy. Sean?
You know what I never get to do is say in the NBA, you don't get to say, hey, you know, it might snow on Sunday. That could really slow down the Nets' fast break. You know, that could really play a factor.
Oh, give me a break. You have those arenas where you got ice under the floor and you got that sweat coming through.
No, you guys never get the odd venue game.
That's true. I mean, you used to have, you know, when I first came to the league, we played in the Alamo Dome and San Antonio, so you'd have buildings that looked unusual. But now, yeah, you might get a I think I had a leaky roof delay once.
One college game on an aircraft carrier. I think that was a Michigan State game a couple of years ago.
Right? Played outside.
Yeah.
I always had my idea, my great NBA idea, was to build some seats at Rucker Park in Harlem in New York and play an NBA outdoor game there. That, at least to me, would be an awesome idea. But
that is a great idea.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Do you get excited to go on the road because of the location where you call the game from?
Might
be better.
Now you're wandering into that icy area that I never talk about.
Right. Don't piss anybody off.
Right, exactly. There are places that are much better. There are places, you know, where you can actually see the game. There are fewer of them. There are fewer of them than there used to be. But no, it's, you know, different. There are different locations, so there are a few places that report that now. Phoenix and the Lakers and Chicago. But it's about, you know, having a clean view of the game. I like Indiana's building. You have a good view, and it's a fun. You know, you're somewhere a little different when you're in Indiana. If it's not, you know, this isn't like Major League Baseball, where hey, you know, you're going to Fenway, you're going to Camden Yards, and you're whatever. But there are some places that are fun, places that are loud, places that fans are into it. But it's a little more. It's a little more generic than most of the other sports.
Well, the Celtics have won three straight, six of their last eight, and their losses were to good teams. Are they showing us some form of resiliency right now?
I don't think there's any question. The only thing is I think they have earned a degree of cynicism because it seems like they've turned the corner a few times before.
Right.
That being said, there's a bizarre people, you know, some of the trolls get annoyed when I bring it up, but last year, the Celtics had that 16-game winning streak at the beginning. And what you don't remember when that happens is, well, the best player on this team didn't play, or the Celtics got a lucky bounce here, or this team was really playing poorly. Because all that stuff, you forget about it. This year, it just feels every night that it's the other way around. And if you look at the teams with the best record in the NBA in the last month, they're all teams the Celtics have played in the last couple of weeks. And in fact, going into last night, the two hottest teams in the league over the last full month were Brooklyn and Indiana, and those were the next two games. You know, San Antonio's on the list, Houston's on the list. Miami had a bad game the other night, but they're on that list, and that's who the Celtics play Thursday. So I think given the fact that you're playing good teams, I think the most encouraging thing about last night is forget who you're playing, forget the back-to-back for Brooklyn. They looked like the team we thought they would be last night. They were moving the ball. Everybody was playing well together. And the reality is that's what should happen. When you can bring Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier and Daniel Tice off the bench, that's what's supposed to happen, what happened last night.
You know what's weird to me? I mean, you got a massive sampling size now. And you know, I've noticed this calling games. You get into trends, right? And you think, okay, we got our big five. This thing's supposed to be so much better than it was last year because last year's team intact was so good. And then you add, you know, the healthy Gordon Hayward to it. It seems like, you know, when one of these guys are down, like Kyrie with the eye injury, that everybody else elevates, that other guys play better when one of the big guys goes down. Like they can't put it together for a 2-week stretch with the big five. Do you feel that trend is real with this team?
I think it is real. Let's see what happens when Aaron Baines comes back and which way it goes. Does it revert back to that, or are they playing so well together now that it's just going to be another piece? We don't know that now. The other great mystery, the thing we don't know is maybe with Gordon Hayward last year, as good as he was and as healthy as he would have been, there would have been more struggles early last year trying to fit everybody in. We don't know that. You know, maybe there was a later benefit in the year to Jaylen Brown and trickle down to Terry Rozier because of the injuries that happened throughout the course of the year. But I think you certainly have everything is trending pretty well. All that said, it's good to beat Minnesota and Dallas and Brooklyn. Those are good teams. And it's a chance that, you know, certainly Brooklyn has a great chance to be in the playoffs. But tomorrow they had the two significant games on the last homestand in Milwaukee when everybody was hurt and they lost. And the Philadelphia games, they won. The game tomorrow night is one of the probably seven or eight biggest games left, because you got to start beating these teams in front of you, because as well as the Celtics have played, they gave up so much ground early in the year that it's trending. It's very clear right now that as we know the West is better than the East. There's no question about that. But the top five in the East are better than the top five in the West, and that is just a fact. There's going to be a good team that's not going to get to the second round in the East, so you want to move up out of that 4-5 if you can, at least.
Yeah, it feels like this month is a very important month for the Celtics. The month of January, the team's on their schedule, the fact that they're at home a lot.
Yeah,
I know that Brad talked to us last week about back-to-backs. He said when he looks at the schedule, he doesn't focus on so much as the opponent or where they are, home versus road. He looks at the back-to-backs as being a big part of the challenge. But I think when you look at this month, this is a big month for them.
I don't think you can't really argue against that. You know, the Celtics, for the most part this year, have played more road games than home games. That's going to end tomorrow. It'll continue again because we're right back on the road. By the time you get to the end of the month, you're going to have played more games at home. You have this sort of rhythm playing every other day. And the Celtics have to start piling up the home wins like Toronto has, like Indiana has. Even Philadelphia has been very, very good at home. And some of those early struggles in games when the Celtics weren't quite there yet resulted in home losses. And I think that, again, the way the Celtics are playing, that's fine. They're playing well. They're starting to gel. You're going to get Aaron Baines back probably earlier than you thought next week. But there is the small matter of the fact there are still four teams ahead of you in the Eastern Conference. And that is something you would, I mean, you could, the Celtics are playing as well as they can play and they go in as a five seed. It's possible, but you don't want to have to win every series on the road.
You worry about Horford's knee long-term? Like, say they get hot, you know, and this, like, you know, you get matched up against teams where you're really going to need him, and then all of a sudden he's not going to be there at the end.
I think that there's plenty of things. If you're an NBA head coach, you have plenty of things to worry about on the course of your team, and there are indispensable players. And I don't, you know, the Celtics, as we found out last year, as close as they came to the finals, the Celtics weren't going to win a championship without Kyrie Irving and obviously without Gordon Hayward. The Celtics can't be what we hope they will be without Al Horford. So when you're dealing with the minute restriction thing is so.
Well, Brad, and the only reason I say that is Brad was so specific with the injury. He made sure he had it exactly and how we're going to have to handle this thing. Yeah. And it scares me. That's all.
Well, listen, Al's got a good amount of miles, not a ton of miles, because remember this, Al, when Kevin Garnett got here, he had been, nobody was talking about minute restrictions and things like that. I think the things that didn't set Kevin Garnett back, he played 21 years and probably could have played more. Yeah. But when he got here, in terms of mileage, I mean, he was wrapping his knees before games like you would not believe, even the first year, because the previous 2 years on a Minnesota team that missed the playoffs, that wasn't going anywhere, they rode Kevin Garnett 40 minutes a game. He was playing 2,000 minutes in those 2 years. That was the killer. Al Horford has come into the NBA at a time that people are more aware of that. And he does not have, you know, you look at the number of minutes, the total minutes he's played in his career through the 10, 11 years it's been, and it's nowhere close to some of the guys that came in a generation before him. So I think everyone's been very conscious of that. And you look at when's the last time he played 30 minutes in a game? And, you know, Kyrie as well. So one thing that is happening while the Celtics are going through these ups and downs is that the minutes are being managed with the specific purpose of a Game 7 against Milwaukee in the second round in May.
All right, Sean Grandy, voice of the Celtics here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Sean, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, man.
See you, Sean.
Sean Grandy joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Following up on what's been said in recent minutes here, Josh McDaniels, Patriots offensive coordinator, speaking to reporters on a conference call today, was asked if he was planning on interviewing with any other teams. He responded to that question by saying, "The book is closed and I'll be here moving forward." The book is closed. It's always a humbling experience to have an opportunity. I was thankful for the opportunity to meet with Green Bay. Always very educational to go through it. I'm completely focused on the Chargers. I'll be here moving forward. He said that when asked by Phil Perry if he thought that his decision to not go to the Colts last year had an impact on the number of offers he received. He said he had no idea if that was something that factored in. McDaniel said that he currently feels that his job is one of the best jobs in the world. And he did expand on that question about the Colts, saying, I have no idea. You'd have to ask other teams if it had anything to do with it. I have one of the best jobs in the world. That's the complete quote. The current complete quote.
Oh, nice, tidy little quote.
Interviewed with the Packers, and that was it. He also confirmed that there has been no contact between him and the Browns.
Okay, so the suppository, that depository, whatever that paper was called.
The Canton repository
Canton
there.
Repository.
Yeah.
It's just a false report.
Just not true.
You think Belichick panicked and said, hey, I'll slide you some more money if I just want you to be here to intellectually challenge Tom the way LaFleur is going to intellectually challenge.
We really shouldn't call that repository story false, because it just sort of wanted to insinuate that there had been contact. We read the actual story, right?
Yeah.
Like rumored, although the story even said they had not reached out to McDaniels.
Right.
But McDaniels was enthusiastically interested. Mm-hmm. Well, they had apparently zero interest in him. None. They may have talked about it internally. They never picked up the phone.
They're taking their time.
They want
back
channels,
credit. Right?
Yeah, they're not panicking.
No, it didn't say back channels. It's been added elsewhere. That's sort of just been tacked
on. I think
that's
assumed.
Like, the story did not say the phrase back channels.
People are trying to connect dots there because of the location.
You've been on the back channels train.
Yeah, I heard some stuff.
Yeah. Well, if anybody in Josh
McDaniels... never made any sense to me at all. Never made any sense.
Anybody in Josh McDaniels' camp has been pushing the back channels. They're doing it because they were trying to get him an interview, and he didn't get one. They don't want him. Cleveland does not want Josh McDaniels. John Dorsey, the GM there, is close with Chris Ballard, who runs the show in Indianapolis, who interviewed and hired Josh McDaniels before he decided not to go.
I wonder if there's any way they retain Greg Williams. You know, briefly, like, you know, why do we got to jump in on some new hot coordinator? Yeah, you know, we want some games with Greg. Team likes him. Let's give it a run for a year. Let's give him a raise. Let's give it a run for a year, and maybe we'll jump back into it.
So Josh McDaniels is confirming what we already thought to start the show today, and that is he's staying. That's good news for the Patriots.
That's
good
news
for the offense. Good news for Tom Brady.
Totally.
Now we don't have to go through this charade.
And then Tom's going to adapt to the new guy, and then, you know, I mean, everything changes then, because the new guy's got to come in and learn his offense, and then I've got to get creative to adapt to you. It's just it's weird. It just keeps the train rolling.
But this does bring up that question, Hardy, of do you want to be a head coach or not? And if you really do, did you sort of watch your window pass you by there? And now you're going to be in a position where maybe if you do want to be a head coach down the road and you don't, and you want it to happen sooner rather than later, you don't want to stay around to become the head coach here, would you then be forced to take a job that is not ideal or one that you previously would not consider? I mean, he's very choosy for a guy who doesn't have a lot of teams calling him.
Unless you really, really want this gig.
Right. Yeah. And if the one he really wants is the Patriots job and he's willing to wait 5 more years to get it, it's tough to imagine him staying here as an offensive coordinator for 5 more years when he's already done it for so long in 2 different stints. But, okay, you could consider that. But this is what I always go back to.
Was never his ideal plan to stay and become head coach? What if it's that because you're just not as hot of a candidate anymore, which I think is facing facts,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting the offers from the Arizonas of the world or the Tampa Bays, and you think to yourself, do I want to go there? And again, now we're another year down the road. So now we're into 2020. We're into January of 2020 on the Josh McDaniels front. He's not leaving this offseason. Another year older for Bill Belichick, status of Tom Brady up in the air. Do you get to a point where you say, do I want to leave for a place like Tampa Bay or Arizona or, you know, Cincinnati? Or do I want to just stick it out here for a couple more years? I'll just become the head coach here. Even if it wasn't his goal or the, you know, in his mind, the thing that he needed to do. But he's thinking, this is going to be a better place to coach. They know me. I have a relationship with the ownership here. We're comfortable here. I know how things are run here. So much will already be set up for me as a head coach. All those little things we talk about, so the video department, the training department, all that's in place already.
Yeah. Right.
That doesn't go out the door if the head coach leaves. You can keep it all. You can keep everything intact.
No, they're going to keep adding.
And you can hit the ground running as a head coach as opposed to moving and going somewhere else. You then say, well, I'm not going to take a bad job just for the sake of becoming a head coach. I'll stick it out a couple more years and take over here.
And he's done it. He has done that.
Yeah.
He went and did the head coaching thing. And I still go back to this, too. Not all it's cracked up to be. That things can go south on you in a hurry. And then you're stuck in St. Louis for a time. And then you have to a certain degree, crawl back here with your tail tucked between your legs. And believe me, as much moxie as it takes to go out and take a job that you may not be ready for with a chance of failing, I think it takes just as much to come back home and take the same job that you already had. You got to swallow your pride.
That takes
some guts. He's done all that before. He doesn't necessarily want to do it again.
And you're going to know, too, when you back out of what you backed out of last year, people are going to be all over you. Like, you're going to get criticized for it.
Okay.
Like, you know it. Like, this isn't coming back like, oh, that's a great decision. Everybody's going to love me for doing it. No, you're going to have some stuff you need to answer to.
Which is what a lot of I felt that way. I felt that way when I said, who's going to offer this guy a head coaching job again? Oh, they will. Oh, they will.
Yeah.
And I thought it was happening 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
When there were assembling coordinators and a staff or people for a potential move to Green Bay because it was being all set up for Josh McDaniels to go in there and take over. And I was surprised at the time, but I said, well, I guess I'm just wrong again. And this time it's on people willing to offer Josh McDaniels a head coaching job after he burned the Colts. But I guess not. Never really was in on Green Bay. Hasn't even had a discussion with Cleveland. He's just staying here. Now, the reasons are probably not just one, but I think in there among them is the fact that he is not the prospect we thought he was, and part of that has to be the fact that it went so poorly when he had his last head coaching job as a head coach of the Colts, and 20 minutes before the press conference, he said, I'm not going to do that after all. How does that not hang over your head? How does that not affect the decision makers and the people deciding who's going to lead this team, not just in terms of who's going to accept the job and be here the first day possible, who's going to lead this team going forward? And that speaks volumes about a person, somebody who did that. I think Josh McDaniels is a good guy. He's a good coach.
He's always been good with us, too, coming on media night. Like, it's going to be...
He's fantastic.
It's going to be fun if they go on a run and get there. Like, guess what? On media night, when we're there, whatever arena we'll be at, guess what, Josh? You're coming over. We're going to talk about that interview you had with us last year. It was sort of your kiss off.
Colts is a huge red flag. It's a huge red flag on his one sheet. When you're looking at the guys for one of the top 32 jobs in football in the world, here's a guy that everyone's talking about him. Here's one of the main guys. The main red flag on him. Oh, he had one head coaching job before. It didn't go so well. Fine, that happens with a lot of people. Now we go into stacks of papers of guys who failed as a head coach at some point, but he actually took one and then turned it down at the last
minute. And I think when you're around here, too, and you're around the stability, and you're talking about what Beatles talking about, the turnkey aspect of it here, and it's all here for you. And the great ownership group that you have, and then you sit there and you hear her say, it's about, team, and guys could score a little more. Something scared him. And maybe it was information he didn't have on Luck. I don't know. But it'll be interesting to talk to him again if we get him again.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
Bringing the classics today.
I'd like to thank Hardy for changing all the rejoins.
Like to thank Tommy and Milton for prodding him to do that.
Right. Like, get your head out of your ass. Now, let's go.
617-779-0985. Jay is in Dunstable today on the Patriots game.
Oh!
Whoa!
Where you at?
Jay?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Jay, beep, beep. What's up?
What up?
Hey, what's going on? Listen, Beetle, I got to disagree with you, man. The Chargers are going to do it. It's Philip Rivers' turn this year. He's going to a Super Bowl. He's going to win a Super Bowl. I mean, come on.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, come on.
You're right. I'm wrong. Philip Rivers is going to win the Super Bowl. He's going to win it all.
You made good points there. Man, come on. How long is he on hold?
39 minutes.
I'll tell them guys, Rivers is going to be in it. He's going to win it. Ridgers. And well, come on.
Pete in Delaware, if the Chargers were to go to the Super Bowl, what would you make of that?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey.
Hey, a couple quick things. I agree with, like, Greg Williams to the Browns because him and Baker have the same type of personality. I can't see Mike McCarthy and Baker Mayfield as a connection. Maybe I'm wrong, but I like the Greg Williams just to see how it goes. And one other kind of just a funny thing, guys, if the Chargers did make the Super Bowl, not saying they would, but if they did, what an embarrassment it would be for the NFL.
Embarrassing. Embarrassing.
Who's going to the game?
Nightmare.
They don't have a fan base.
That's a nightmare situation for the league. Now, I know they're building a new stadium there, and you really think they're going to fill it?
What does that have to do, though, with the...
Just it's a bad look. Like, you're playing in a rental, like a 28,000-seat stadium that actually, if it was...
But isn't that an embarrassment for the NFL already?
It is.
What does them going to the Super Bowl have to do with it?
No, not them going to the Super Bowl is the embarrassment. To play an AFC title game in that stadium is an embarrassment.
Yeah, but that's
a bad look.
To play regular season games there is an embarrassment.
We laughed at that.
It's a horrible look for the NFL. It's a horrible look for that franchise.
And credit to them, to the state they're in, because, again, it's like they're the ones that got kicked to the curb. We need to circle the wagons because we're going to be a good road team because we really don't have
a kick to the curb.
Well, the Chargers. Like,
by who?
I mean, if you're a player.
They kicked themselves to the curb.
Listen to me.
Oh, you're talking about players.
As the team. If you're Anthony Lynn and you're trying to circle the wagons as a team, you're looking for things to rally around.
Oh, yeah.
We're rallying around not having a home. Why are we so good on the road? Because we really don't even have a home.
That's true.
And it's why we have the mantra, doesn't matter. Why do you think Rivers deferred to Ingram in that post game? Like, what's the saying? Doesn't matter what time, where we're at, we're going to play it. Because they really don't have a home. It's not a big deal for them to get on a plane and go back and forth. I do think at some point, though, you do have a gas tank as a human being. And at some point, that tank runs out. That's a lot of energy flying back there, back here. They're already talking about it. He's like, no, man, 10:30 a.m. game. Yeah, it's already in your head. It's already in your head. We got to go back East Coast. Right away, you just beat the Ravens. You're already talking about 10 a.m. start, East, you know, West Coast time for us. You're already thinking about it. So I know you're saying it don't matter, but you're the one that brought it up. So it kind of matters because you're already talking about it.
Sean sent us a tweet a couple days ago. He wrote, is there anything more putrid than the thought of an all-L.A. Super Bowl? What a fraud game that would be. Can you imagine Rams-Chargers in the Super Bowl?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, blow my brains out.
Oh, the McVay crap.
There's nobody to root for there.
I don't want them to go because of McVay.
Probably be a good football game, though. Yeah. Strictly football.
There we go, Mr. Football. Mr.
Just in terms of the X's and O's.
Well, just think about it. Just think about the ingenuity.
Who would you root for?
Imagine Green Bay gets it.
Who would you root for there?
Chargers.
Yeah,
I'm an AFC guy.
I'd go for the Rams.
You're upset with the LaFleur hirings now. What if McVay wins a Super Bowl? Oh,
God. That's okay. The rest of the league is stupid, Jim. We know this.
His quality control coach will be getting interviews next
year.
They're
already stupid. The league is already dumb. I saw someone did it last night on Twitter where they said this is how NFL teams are making their decisions now. Do you know Sean McVay?
Yeah.
And then there's a line to yes and a line to no.
Do you,
you go to no,
do you spike your hair? Do you like hair gel? Do you have nicely cut sideburns?
Basically, no, I don't know him. Sorry. Thank you for the interview. If yes, you do know him, you're hired.
That's the entire flow chart. Yeah,
do you know him? Yeah.
Are you a Jim Harbaugh type?
You're hired.
You like pleated khakis? Or are you a Sean McVay type that likes the skinny jean look like Adam Gase?
Don't you get the feeling that teams feel like McDaniels might be sort of obsolete even though he's young?
Yeah, he's old now. He's old school. That's old school.
His system's obsolete. Not him, but his system seems like that they don't. People don't want that.
He's not viewed already. Josh McDaniels is not viewed as a young, up-and-coming, brilliant offensive mind.
Could you imagine? In the NFL. Think about it, though. Could you imagine the Colts pop Kansas City and you find a way to beat the Chargers? Then it's McDaniels versus the Colts.
Brian's in the car.
About the type of game plan he'll put together.
Brian says he has inside info on McDaniels and the Colts.
What do you got, Brian?
Brian.
Hey, guys. How's it going today? So me and my wife were in Disney Springs back in early December having some drinks and had a property of New England Patriots sweatshirt on. And the guy sitting next to us started talking to us, and he was pretty close with Josh and said the reason why Josh didn't end up going to the Colts was because the owner of the Colts got lost in his house for about 45 minutes when they were sitting down trying to finalize the deal. And he said that was the reason why he didn't end up signing the deal with the Colts.
Hey, man, down in the basement, man. I'm going to get back upstairs. Hey, Quinn. Is he serious?
I don't know.
You could buy those property Patriots.
I just Googled it. You can get one for like $30. As much as I would love for the McDaniels not
Disney
going
Springs.
I would love for the reason to be ownership there in Irsay, because we rag on Irsay all the time.
Hey, man, do you have a bathroom?
Yeah.
Not like a powder room off the kitchen, but like more of like a well-stocked bathroom, man.
Hey, man. I have no reason to believe that ownership was the cause of him not going there.
Last time I was here, this pill bottle was full. I opened this mirror.
I don't think there was anything scandalous about him not going there. I think there were probably some disagreements about how the system was going to be run there.
He got lost in his own house. I've heard it all now.
Hey, Josh, I've got like a personality profile here. I like to ask this of all our new hires. So, question number one.
Can you cover 21 points,
Brad? Tend to keep your medications in your nightstand or in the master bathroom? Uh-huh. All right, good. Do you have any chronic pain issues that you currently receive medication for? Uh-huh. You do. Okay. All right. I need to excuse myself.
This will never leave them. This is... Like my point the other day. Where's the handler making him stop talking? You know, and... Like, I talked to Coach.
Handler.
And we see
any
it.
Handler would
we
be his employee.
I understand
he's
that.
He's the owner of the team. The owner of the team has every right to address the team after a game.
But there becomes a point where you know this thing's going off the rails. It's just saying. That's all. All right, let's go. Wrap it up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.